Rose looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I share a colorful Christmas story from my childhood, resulting in broken Christmas lights and punished children. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Tornado warning at Walmart. Details later. People at Walmart, Sterling at night. Troubled hip-hop star hits an exotic dancer with a bottle of champagne. $10 million. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
A season miracle. Answered prayers. Sterling isn't here. Meet guest stars Becky and Dan Gaffney.
Right, and Becky's already into the eggnog.
Eggnog and coffee. I have eggnog, coffee, and water. I have to have three beverages at all times.
One of them might be spiked.
All right, there's a Christmas tree in here. It's warm and cozy. It's a Sunday night. Why not have some eggnog with my coffee?
Walter Sterling has been so kind to ask us to fill in for him tonight. Believe it or not, if you're just scanning the radio dial, scanning around, this is a live show heard on great radio stations all across the country. Yes, you just heard the guy say, I'm Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
And we are here. One of the drinks my wife has from the living room here, water, coffee, eggnog. This is going to be
easy. Why do you keep laughing at the eggnog? Every time you say it, you laugh.
I thought we've already heard someone that sounded like he might have been in the eggnog already tonight.
The weather guy?
Dr. Dave is doing a great job for us. Just saying.
That's the only guy we've heard. So that's got to be the guy you're talking about. I have no idea what you're talking about, but it's got to be him.
So it's great to be here tonight. Lots of Christmas hustle and bustle. And I think we need to have a conversation about tipping. Not waiters and waitresses. I get it. I love tipping servers. All right. I think we're a good tipper. Tippers.
We are. In general, we're very good tippers. I think even when someone, you know, doesn't do the greatest of all jobs, we do realize that waiters and waitresses depend on the tip because
right.
they don't make an hourly wage.
But happening more and more, maybe you have experienced this, happening more and more, you get the tipping screen and all the person did was hand you a muffin, for instance. Like, this was a real thing we experienced today.
Yes.
Stop at a shop, we get a blueberry muffin, and there's a screen to tip 25%. They didn't even make the muffin at the shop.
Right, it's 20, 25, 30, 35%. They just have these prompts, and they stare at you while you stare at the screen and see whether or not you're going to hit it, so you don't know how the muffin's going to come out, if they're going to hand it to you gently if you give a tip, or they're going to throw it straight at your face if you don't.
Somebody's given a name to this. It's called tipflation. Tipflation is where people that typically were never tipped employees
and that
are getting tips or asking for tips.
And that's because they actually make an actual hourly wage, whereas waitresses and waiters, we have two kids that are waitress and waiter, and they make $2.15 an hour.
Plus great tips.
Right, plus
right?
the tips. But they have to have the tips to make a living wage. And sometimes they're there for 4 hours before the tips start coming.
And look, even if you're at a deli or some sort of store like this where they're making you a sandwich or whatever, and they ask you for a tip on the screen when they never used to do this.
Right.
I do it. But it does seem to be getting out of hand. We ordered something online
right.
this week. Online order.
Yep.
Not food. Just a product.
We're not seeing people. No one is doing something to get us that other than what they would normally be doing.
And at checkout, there was a tip option.
Hilarious.
A tip option for an online product order?
It was just the weirdest thing to me because it was just, you know, one little product and they're asking, who are you tipping? Who are you tipping? The person that makes the product? The person that ships the product? Who are you tipping? Santa's elves?
The reason we're bringing this up is for your participation. Like I said, this is a live show. We can talk with you. 888-688-WALT. Dan and Becky in for Walter Sterling. 888-688-9258. Spells Walt.
Yeah, that. Thank you, honey. Thank you for clarifying.
In case you didn't know that. In case you didn't know that. Well, a lot of people are seemingly getting fed up with being bombarded for requests for tips for service, okay? There's a payroll provider, one of these companies, Gusto, I think. They did a survey of this. And tipping for service workers, other than restaurant servers and hotel workers, is actually down 7% because people are getting tired of it. They're getting tired of getting asked everywhere, and so there's a backlash. There's a backlash going on against that. Now, that is, we're not stiffing waiters or waitresses, thank goodness. But the other tipping is starting to go downhill.
I actually have seen a lot of reels and things where people are saying that they're so tired of tipping, that why are we tipping waiters and waitresses and they don't owe them a tip? There are a lot of people who do not tip.
Right.
And that these are two totally different things. And I am not a fan of the idea that when people see all of these extra tips, it's making people not want to tip across the board. Okay. There are people who don't know how much they're supposed to tip or that they're supposed to tip, waiters and waitresses. How do you not know that? I don't know. But there are those people. And I think this is making that worse.
Yeah, it's hard to sell a 25% tip on the muffin handing. You know, or you bought a tea, you know, a bottle of something and something from the counter that's already been made and you're asked to tip. That's a bit much.
I think those are the weirdest. And I think those are the ones that people are seeing more and more is the just handing a bottled water across the counter and they're asking you for 25%.
Right.
It's nuts. There was we were talking about the addition in one restaurant where they were adding, what did you say? It was 30% or something for the kitchen staff.
Oh, 3.5,
okay,
not 30.
3.5.
Yeah, on a menu, and maybe you have this in your area, you know, people are listening to us in a lot of different areas. So what's happening in your area might be a little different. We get it. But this was a restaurant in Williamsburg, Virginia. And on the menu, it was a nice restaurant. A guy wanted to try. He showed me the menu. On the menu, it said at the bottom, 3.5% will be added to your bill, your total bill, for the kitchen staff.
Okay, we understand
So you're expected to tip the server, which is understandable. Please, please tip. But you're going to add a surcharge for the kitchen staff.
Now, kitchen staffs may be underpaid. I can't say whether or not all kitchen staffs are paid. Staffs are paid what they should be, but they are paid an actual hourly wage that's more than $2 an hour, unlike the waitresses.
And some of these entrees are like $35, $37. Why didn't they just charge? Wouldn't it have been less offensive to just charge another dollar per item and then pay the staff what you think they're worth?
I think it would. I think we're all getting really tired of the inflation that, you know, it's being passed on. The food prices are being passed on to us and people don't want them to go any higher. But, you know, at the end of the night, when you look at your bill, I guess you just aren't supposed to have read the fine print and know that extra 3.5% is there because the restaurant doesn't feel like paying their kitchen staff.
We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, there is another practice that you may have noticed doing your shopping that's happening at some checkouts. It's not tipping. It's another practice that I find a little suspect, And we'll talk about that coming up in a moment. Dan and Becky Gaffney in for Sterling on Sunday. Walter M. Sterling at gmail.com. Send him some well wishes. He will be back next weekend, by the way, Christmas Eve. It's going to be a good Christmas Eve show. He's all ready for it. He told me to say that.
He told you to. You don't know if it'll be a good show or not, but he told you to say that. We know it'll be a good show, Walter. We know it will.
Guaranteed. Dan and Becky in for Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Sniper Wolf.
Hello, friends. It's me. Yes, I cut my hair. TikTok saw it first. I always wanted to cut my hair, so I did.
Talking about Christmas shopping and tipflation and people asking for tips on screens, there's another practice, Becky, that we notice.
We sure did notice it, Dan. It's when you get to the register and you've paid, you know your total, you're getting ready to pay, and they say, "Would you like to round up the extra 99 cents and give it to our charitable organization?" That you may never have heard of, you don't really know what it is, and just give us your extra money.
Are they doing this where you are, where they ask you to round up for charity? There was one store, a drug store that shall remain nameless.
Really long receipts?
Okay. They had a situation where you could press a button and it would round up for you forever. Like if you use the same credit card.
Oh, I didn't see that. That's nuts.
I don't know if they still do that.
Just start rounding up to the nearest
every time.
Dollar,
they would ask you once, would you like to always round up? And if you hit the button, you're not paying attention. Every time you went in there, it would round up, but you wouldn't know it.
That's insane. That's even more suspect than the not knowing who the charity actually is.
Or as the kids say, honey, sus.
Yeah, okay. It is.
It's very, very sus. Sus.
Very sus.
I don't like the rounding up for charity.
No, I don't either. And I have also heard, and I don't know if this is true, so check me on this, but I have heard that when they're asking you to do that, these large corporations have already made a donation to this charity, and they're just simply trying to recoup their, you know, their tax-exempt donation that they've given.
Right.
Have you heard that?
I have. There's sort of a internet meme going around.
Or several. And I don't know if it's just me or if it's you too, if it's anybody out there who feels like you're being stared at and judged just like you are if you don't tip, if you don't round up to give to, you know, the widows and orphans.
Right. So we'd like to know what you think of this practice. On Sterling on Sunday by calling us at 888-688-9258. 888-688-WALT. I don't mind giving to charity.
I don't either, but I think if you're going to give to a charity, you want to give to a charity that you've researched, you know where the money's actually going, you know how much on, you know, every dollar is actually making it there. You have no idea what you're actually giving to. And I feel like it's a hard sell on the charity so that they can somehow benefit from it.
I'm not an accountant, and I know there's an internet belief that when you round up, the corporation takes all of that and they make a donation that's a tax deductible donation. But I actually think it's some kind of pass through. You know, it's just a pass through because if you have it on your receipt
that you've done that,
then that's really your donation. It shows on your receipt. So
you're going to keep all those donations and at the end of the year, you're going to submit those to your accountant? Yeah, I don't think so.
What I'm saying is don't believe everything you read on the internet. But
I said check me on that. But it does seem a little bit more like that. It would be something like that. Why would they pick the charity or be pushing it? I don't know, unless it's somehow beneficial to them.
So that's what has been on our mind here today.
Now we sound like Scrooges. We sound like the ultimate Christmas Scrooges
right.
because
these
we don't
like
give
anything.
Extra money. But I don't, again, I don't, it's with the tipping, I do want to tip, I just want to do it appropriately, and with the giving of our charitable donations, I think that should come from us and not be kind of forced upon us by a clerk with these, you know, judgmental eyes.
Yeah, and I just kind of want to know what other people think about it. You know, what does the rest of America think?
I agree, because I know that I am always overthinking everything, and I want to know if everybody else is overthinking it too, or if I'm in line. So let us know what you think. You can give us a call at 888-688-9258, 888-688-WALT.
And what else are you going to do? You're going to hit scan. You're going to hit scan, and then you're going to come across the Christmas music station, and they're not going to be playing any of the good Christmas songs.
Oh, my word.
You're going to be listening to it, and you're going to be like, you know, I like Christmas, but I don't like to hear. This is the time when all the stations are throwing in Christmas, even the ones that don't go all Christmas. You know what I mean? Your favorite station.
My favorite station
is now playing Christmas music as well.
Right. Okay. But they're not playing your Christmas music. I think
that's why I don't like it.
Because it's not who plays your Christmas music? No one. It's not Christmas music. Just it's like saying Die Hard is a Christmas movie. It's not a Christmas movie.
Here is a Christmas song. Here are five Christmas songs that would not make me change the station.
Oh.
You ready? These are the non-Christian. I have two lists, as you know.
Yes.
Five great Christmas songs that are Christian oriented.
Great.
That's the better list.
I'm air quoting the word great right now.
And then I have five other songs that are non-Christian that will not make me change the radio station.
All right. Well, let's hear them.
Number five, Dominic the Donkey.
My word.
Have you heard it?
I have heard it, but I never heard it until you forced me to hear it.
Dominic the Italian Christmas Donkey.
Can you do it? Can you do the hee-hawing? Please.
Number four, Christmas Baby, Please Come Home.
No idea.
Darlene Love from the 60s.
No idea.
All right. Number three, Merry Christmas, I Don't Want to Fight Tonight. It's by the Ramones.
Is this on a Christmas album or?
No, just a Christmas song.
Okay.
Number two, Fairy Tale of New York by the Pogues.
I don't even know who that is.
All right.
Are you ashamed of me right now for not knowing who that
not
is?
At all.
Okay.
And number one, and only this year, Last Christmas by Wham.
Is it by Wham or George Michael?
One of those. One
you know,
of the
him
two.
And, okay. I really?
Last Christmas.
I'm not singing it.
Yeah, I gave you my heart.
And the very next day. You really? That's really on your favorites list. You go from the Ramones to George Michael.
This is why I don't listen to the Christmas stations, because they're not playing these songs. Well, they play number one. They play Last Christmas, for
sure.
And
that's your number one?
We'll be back. What's happening with you? This is Sterling on Sunday. I'm Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
Yeah. Hang in there.
Walter M. Sterling.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Ashley Benson.
The last time I lied, I had plans and I canceled them. And I just said I was very sick and I wasn't, but I was also, you know, that happened.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I share a colorful Christmas story from my childhood, resulting in broken Christmas lights and punished children. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Tornado warning at Walmart. Details later. People at Walmart, Sterling at night. Troubled hip-hop star hits an exotic dancer with a bottle of champagne. $10 million. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
The emphasis on you. Walter Sterling, not in tonight. Dan Gaffney.
And Becky Gaffney.
We are in our living room.
Yes, we are. Staring at the beautiful Christmas tree.
And I like the Christmas tree this year.
Do you not like it other years?
No, I mean, it's a good tree. It's different. But it's different than
Than what?
It's different than last year.
Well, isn't it always different? The Christmas tree is always different.
Well, some people's tree always looks the same. They put the same ornaments up, the same
in the same order. I mean, it's got the same ornaments on it.
It does?
Yeah.
What about all the other ornaments? What about all the old ornaments, the kids' ornaments, and all the ones we used to hang up? We don't hang those.
Well, usually I have up more than one tree. This year I only did one tree. I tried to, chill out and not do quite as much. We did nothing outside. I'm sort of feeling a little bit lame now.
I'll tell you what's happening outside. We live in Delaware and we're getting rain. You just heard Dr. Dave talk about storms on the coast, and we're certainly getting it.
I'm waiting for the roof to start leaking any second.
And what else is happening near our home? Here in Delaware, a car plowed into a parked member of Joe Biden's motorcade in Wilmington, Delaware. Everybody's okay, apparently. He's fine.
But we really don't know who did that yet or
somebody
why.
Somebody into the eggnog, I'm sure.
Yeah, can you imagine? Can you imagine, being the, somebody up
that
in downtown
drinking.
Wilmington, they're up there, watching the Nutcracker, and they come out from the Nutcracker and, jumped on by the Secret Service.
My grandmother had a tree that was passed on to my parents, and it was one of these silver trees.
Like a tinsel tree.
Tinsel.
Yes.
Tinsel tree. Long sleeves. It had paper sleeves. Here's how it was stored.
Okay.
Each branch had long silver tinsel on it, okay? And it was, you would slide it into a paper sleeve.
Every year?
Yeah, every year, because each individual branch came off of a silver trunk.
That's a lot of work.
Well, it wasn't too bad.
No?
No, because they just come out and stick it in a hole. Come out, stick it in a hole. And the whole tree was tinsel, right? And then it had a pack of shiny shiny pink balls.
Okay. That was it? Just pink balls?
Only pink. And there were just enough, so there were three on each branch. Okay.
Okay. So, yeah. Okay. So I can see how your tree looked the same every year.
Yeah. And at the base of this tree, and I wish I still had this, at the base, there was a light bulb with a motor that turned a colored screen and had three colors on it. Like yellow, blue, and red, I think.
So for a second while it turned, the tree was a little bit different.
So you would plug that in. There were no lights on the tree.
Okay.
Because it was metal.
Right.
And so you plug this in, and you set it at the base of the tree. And it made a noise like me, because the little motor was turning this wheel.
Yeah.
The light would be on, this like a spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
And then the wheel, and so you would watch the tree, and it would, oh, look, it's red. Oh, now it's turning blue. Oh, now it's yellow. Oh, it's red again. Oh, now it's blue.
Because back in those days, there wasn't anything else to do but watch the light bulb turn. You know that I have a desire to have a pink tinsel tree in our house, right? Like, I love the retro, aluminum. I think they were aluminum, weren't they?
Could have been.
And my grandmother, at one point, she had given me a tree. I know you remember this story, because the tree was left at someone else's house for me to pick up, and all of a sudden the tree had disappeared. Mm. The tree was not there, and I never got my tree. So you like the tree with the turning bulb, and I'm looking forward to one someday, let's make that a goal next year
I don't know where we can get one.
I don't know, antique store,
It is an antique.
Probably find them, on the internet somewhere, selling
might
them,
have
sure.
A Sterling on Sunday listener that would want to sell
that would have a tree. That would be great. Or like a collection of them. Because so normally I have trees everywhere. There are trees on the porch. There are trees in every room.
Yes.
And I just decided that I just was going to do one this year.
Minimal.
Yeah, just to try to, you know, not do as much. But I'm kind of missing all of my trees. You're not missing them, are you?
No, I was just getting a little nostalgia, telling a story about my grandmother's Christmas tree.
Also, I will point out that I did mention all I wanted for our tree this year was big pink balls. That was it. And we couldn't find big pink ones anywhere.
All right. Very good. There was no star at the top of that grandmother's tree either. There was at the top of the trunk, there was a drilled hole.
Uh-huh.
And you just put one of those branches.
And it kind of like pineappled out.
It would just stick straight up. And then they were all, the holes were drilled in the trunk at an angle.
Okay.
So that the tree, you know.
Right. So that it would cascade down. And then did you put three pink balls on the top of that too?
No.
Or no?
Not on the top one. Right. And it was kind of short, so you could put it on a table. A small table, and then the light would sit down on the ground.
My favorite.
Beautiful Christmas.
My favorite table trees are the ceramic trees. That's what my grandmother had. The ceramic tree that she made, like, in the ceramic shop in the 70s.
That have the little bulbs.
Yes, the little tiny, like, what is that thing called that you stick the... It's like a square, a light bright. They look like light bright bulbs, right?
Yeah.
On the, you know, the ceramic base.
These are all the retro holiday things that have just come to our mind because we're staring at our Christmas tree. Did you put a picture of this on your Instagram?
No, you put a picture of it on your Instagram.
I didn't.
No, you didn't? Okay, no, I will. I'll put a picture of the tree. It just, you know how when you take a picture of a Christmas tree every year, you think it looks gorgeous? It's like, oh, that's such a pretty tree. And then you try to take a picture and you're just ultimately disappointed because you can't get a good picture of the tree. That's what happens every time. And I just don't do it.
You did put a picture up from the living room, though, on your Instagram.
I did at Just Being Mom. That's my Instagram if you want to find it.
Just Being Mom. I did put a picture of the tree with a microphone on the Dan Gaffney Show Facebook page.
Right. You can see a tiny bit of the tree if you want to see
it. Dan Gaffney Show. All one word. I feel like an old person when I say all one word. Like it's the internet. We know how to find a Facebook page.
We know how to function on the internet these days, yes.
All one word. Is that uppercase or lowercase? You know, all these questions. Remember those questions?
I do.
All right. Coming up, we've got a lot of things to talk about. People who are working past the age of 65. We'll talk about that coming up tonight. Tesla has a big recall of almost every vehicle on the roads.
That's insane.
And it's just for a software update to make them safer. I know you have an issue with safety and your feeling about these cars.
I'm afraid of them, yes.
So we'll flesh that out at some point tonight. The eggnog is going to be flowing. We invite your phone calls. Who knows? Will we hear from Keith from the North Pole? Who knows? Filling in for Sterling on Sunday, it's Dan and Becky Gaffney. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by TikTok.
Boy math is when they need to leave the house by 5 o'clock. So at 4:59, they're literally ready to go. Like, they're literally ready. They just need to hop in the shower super quick. But other than that, they're literally ready to go.
Walter M. Sterling, not in tonight. I'm Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
We're going to reconnect with a man we've talked to before, and you may have heard here on Sterling on Sunday. It's Keith Fons from literally the North Pole. Keith, are you there?
I am. How are you guys tonight?
Hey, great talking with you. How are things at the North Pole?
Busy, hectic. Took the kids today to go see Santa at the Santa Claus house, and he's getting ready for, you know, Christmas next week.
We were sitting here before the show hoping to talk to you tonight, and we were thinking all the questions that we would have for someone who lives in Alaska. Like, can you see the northern lights?
Oh, yeah, in the wintertime, almost every night, we get a good show. Some nights we don't because it's cloudy and snowy, but most nights it is. And usually when it is, it's like negative degrees outside. But you go outside, you bundle up, and you get a nice little show.
And how about moose? Do you see moose just like walking down the street every day? There's just like out there.
Yep.
Really?
Yep, in people's yards. About 2 years ago, I was driving, doing a delivery, came around the corner, and there was two moose sitting in the middle of the road. They ended up, I had a Dodge Ram 1500 that they ended up totaling.
Really?
How did that happen?
Yeah,
come out of nowhere.
I have another question for people who live in Alaska, the North Pole, Alaska. Have you ever seen an actual igloo like they show
in a
kid's alphabet book? I is for igloo, you know, like made out of white blocks of snow.
Actually, yeah, we have seen those, and kids like to make them. Like our son, he likes to make snow blocks and make
all right, we made snow blocks when we were little too, Dan, so you can't, you know, did that.
Becky was looking at me like, this is the dumbest question ever. But
well, I asked about the moose, so I guess you have a right to ask about the igloo.
You'd be surprised how many people in the lower 48 believe that all we do is live in igloos and ride moose. And it's like, no, we got regular houses here, like the house me and my wife bought. It's a nice old, like from the 70s log home.
Yeah. Speaking of your wife, I don't know if you know this, but my wife has been following you on Facebook.
You know that. Last year I followed you on Facebook after we had a conversation on the air.
Did you get married this year? Did you get married this year?
Oh, no. We're actually going to be celebrating our 18th in January, 18 years
ago. Wow. In January.
Yeah. Well, congratulations.
18 years and 3 kids later.
Awesome, man. And the last time we talked, just as a little update, you were having a run-in with the local authorities over your Christmas lights. That's all solved, I think. Hasn't it been solved?
Yeah, I ended up taking them to court last year, and the judge kind of laughed, and he charged me a whole $1 for 6 tickets. And then I put my Christmas lights up this year, you know, October to the new year, and the same cop I took to court last year and won against, he pulled me over one time in the last 2 months and gave me one ticket.
For the same thing?
Yeah, for the unauthorized use of color lights, because I drive around with my Christmas lights on for 3 months of the year.
Yeah, he has Christmas lights on his vehicle and unauthorized vehicle lights. Like one of the Christmas bulbs might be blue or something. I don't know. Like they think it's a police car or something.
Well, like I said last year, if I could pull you over with my strand of Christmas lights, you probably deserve to get pulled over.
I think you're right.
And the other question I have is, are you ready for Christmas? You know how people ask that all the time? They ask us that all the time.
Why are you asking him that? Because he's supposed to be more ready because he's from North Pole, Alaska?
That's right. He better be ready.
Well, I had like our youngster, Junior, he asked me the other day, he goes, Dad, are we the first people Santa comes to? Because we're in North Pole. And I tried to explain him, we may be the first. We may be, you know, the home stretch as he's coming home. He might do his own, you know, his own community. We don't know. You're sleeping when he shows up.
All right. So speaking of Santa, you mentioned that you took them to the Santa house. Is the Santa house like any more spectacular in the North Pole than it is like, you know, in my town where we have our little Santa house?
Santa house here is pretty much the biggest house in our community, and the public's allowed to go in. There's some areas like upstairs where Santa and the elves sleep and work. You know, you're not allowed to go up there, but you can go in his house and they have fudge and they got hot cocoa and you can go and meet them and meet Mrs. Claus. And it's open to the public every day of the year.
Unbelievable. And is the post office busy? Don't they give you a North Pole postmark? Is that very popular still?
It is. You know, I get people all the time, you know, hey, can you send me a postcard or a letter? Because they know that it'll be postmarked North Pole.
You're in Alaska. Have you ever stood on ice and had a circle cut around you with a saw and then looked down and then fell into the water like in a cartoon?
No, I don't think you'd want that to happen here.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, like in the cartoon where you're just standing there and they're cutting underneath you and that's, you know.
Yeah. And we have another question coming in via the insider line. Have you ever seen a penguin? I don't know if you have
penguins.
We that's funny because we get asked, the people that live here get asked that a lot, and it's like, we're not in Antarctica, you know. That's where
no penguins. Right. No penguins.
I wish we had penguins. Don't get me wrong. You know, my family, they have dogs and cats, and the wife's got a miniature goat. You know, why not add a penguin to the mix?
Maybe. I bet you could do that. Like a little, right? A little side attraction to the Santa house, right? Some penguins.
Throw a polar bear in there, and you know, we got ourselves a little farm.
All right. Well, is there anything else you would like to share with America, Keith, from the North Pole?
From North Pole, Alaska, we wish everybody a Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, whatever you believe in. Happy holidays.
God bless you, buddy. Thanks for being on the show today.
Thanks, Keith.
Yep. Have a good one.
Very nice to hear him. Very nice. Dan and Becky Gaffney in for Walter Sterling. More coming up. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Walter M. Sterling.
Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I share a colorful Christmas story from my childhood, resulting in broken Christmas lights and punished children. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Tornado warning at Walmart. Details later. People at Walmart, Sterling at night. Troubled hip-hop star hits an exotic dancer with a bottle of champagne. $10 million. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
A season miracle. Answered prayers. Sterling isn't here. Meet guest stars Becky and Dan Gaffney.
That's right. Great to be here live from the Dan and Becky World Headquarters in the living room. Listening to the wind blow here on the East Coast. We just heard Dr. Dave with the weather forecast, and I was checking it out. It's really blowing
out
there.
It's kind of frightening. I can see the Christmas lights, the one strand we have around the outside, just kind of flying around out there.
Great to be with you. I'm Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
And we are going to talk about people, maybe you, who are planning to keep working past age 65.
That's definitely you. won't tell your age, but you'll
not
be working
stopping.
Forever.
I'm not 65.
Well, no, you're not 65, but I can't imagine you not working ever.
Same.
I mean, probably just more to get out of the house and away from me than anything, but...
one in five Americans age 65 or older were employed in 2023. So that's 20% of people over the age of 65 are employed. That seems like a low number to me. I think more people than that would work past 65.
Well,
no?
You do, because I think that's kind of your attitude. Like, as long as I've known you, you've always said, I'll never retire. I'll never retire. So you're just kind of a different
duck.
Yeah, you are. You have a different idea
different
about
duck.
It, but there are people who kind of want to rest, you know, and do want to retire.
Yeah. 35 years ago, according to the Pew Research people, they've done this survey for several years, only 10%. So it's double. The number of people over the age of 65 still working, double the amount it was 35 years ago.
Okay, I have a question. I think you're thinking it's, you know, probably financial reasons, like we don't have enough retirement, et cetera, et cetera. But do you think people are just bored? We don't do what we used to do. We don't have, you know, granny hobbies and gardens and, you know, boomers that didn't maybe do all of those things.
Well, also that thing you hear, 65 is the new 55. We're in better shape as we get older.
Are we in America? You think we're in better shape than our, you know, forefathers were? That really?
Maybe not.
Are really?
Well, if you are under 65, do you plan on working past 65? And if you are over 65, are you still working or not?
Well, I'm going to say that from our perspective, again, coming at it from our perspective, we will have children in the house until at least I'm 63 or 4.
Right.
Yeah. So, again, it's a little bit different for us. We're kind of in a
our youngest is 7.
Right.
The youngest of 8 is 7 years old.
Yeah. And, I mean, I think that kind of just changes things for us. It changes how long you'll want to work. It changes what I'll be doing. It changes everything.
Yeah. Earning power is growing. If you're older, you earn more on average than younger workers. I would say that's because of your experience.
Right.
You've been at it a while. You know, if you look at hourly wages, that's all. So are you still working past 65?
An example that I can think of someone who is working past 65 is an aunt that I have who is in her 70s who just doesn't want to stop working. Yeah. She's retired. She retired from 2 different long-standing jobs.
She keeps working.
And she keeps working. She doesn't want to stop.
888-688-WALT. You can be a part of the conversation. This is a talk show where you get to talk too. Sound off, speak out, be heard. We'd love to hear from you. 888-688-9258.
And I'm really interested in hearing, because my coming from the side of I have a lot of granny hobbies, I want to know if people aren't doing the granny hobbies. There's nothing for them to do except, you know, go be a greeter.
A lot of people have to work. Some people want to work.
Right.
Right. I would be in both.
Both of those categories. Right.
Thankfully, I have to, first of all, not thankfully, but I'm going to have to work. But secondly, thankfully, I want to.
Right.
As long as I can physically do it.
Yeah.
I don't plan on stopping. There's just nothing in my brain that says retire or anything like that. I just don't. But then again, I've said this before, I'm not going up and down ladders all day with shingles on my back.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm able, you know, my knees aren't whacked.
Right, as we
my
sit here
back
on the,
is not out.
The comfy couch right now with the coffee and the eggnog. It's a little bit different than manual labor.
Pardon me.
So it makes your entire perspective totally different than it would for, say, you know, somebody who is a mason or a carpenter.
And if you're over 65, if you're over that age and you're still working, what keeps you going? Are you doing it? I would like to hear from some people here. Are you doing it for fun? Or are you doing it? Why? You know, because you have to, which is fine.
I do think there are a lot of people.
Or you like what you're doing?
In that situation. But I think a lot of people do enjoy working and seeing people. Like the people that we see that are clerks in the store that's here that have been there for 25 years. There are like 4 of those ladies that we know who we see all the time. And they love to see us. And they've watched our kids grow. And they like to engage.
Right. So listen, telephone number here is 888-688-WALT. That's 888-688-9258. In for Walter M. Sterling. It's Dan and Becky Gaffney. Let's go to California and bring in Shirley on this topic. Shirley, let's talk about...
Hi.
Yeah, let's talk about working past age 65. What do you think?
Well, that really wasn't my plan. My husband and I both retired. I was 55 and he was 58, and we went traveling in a motorhome. He died and I stayed retired, but then my daughter said, "Mom, you want to come and work for me?" So guess what? I'm back to full-time work.
What kind of work do you do?
Secretary work.
For your daughter?
I work in the office.
Yeah.
For my daughter. But they have a business, you know, and it's busy. And I didn't think I would want to do it again, but actually I'm enjoying it, and I have no, at 78, I have no plans on stopping anytime soon.
Listen, what a world. I mean, your world changed when you're in the motorhome with your husband and he dies. You know, the whole plan changed, right? You were going to travel the country or something, whatever, right?
Correct. And yes, plans did change. Not for the better, but life does go on. But, yeah. You know, I don't have to work. I have enough money that I can live comfortably. But I decided I wanted to keep up the lifestyle that my husband and I had, so I bought a truck and trailer, and I take trips in that by myself.
Shirley, do you have grandkids that live with your daughter?
I don't live with that daughter. I live with another daughter, but I'm gone all the time, so it isn't like I really live there. But I have grandchildren, and I have great-grandchildren.
Interesting. Hey, you've answered the question perfectly. I thank you for being on Sterling on Sunday, and keep up the good work out there. Thank you so much. Shirley in California.
I think it's cool that she went back and is doing things, and she is working with her daughter. She must enjoy it.
Yeah. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. We'd love to hear from you as well. If you're under 65, do you think you're going to keep working past 65? And if you're over 65, why are you working? You want to talk about that? Or maybe you're retired and you're happy with that. I'm Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Judge Judy.
Ultimately, you got the car back.
Yes, ma'am.
And you say it was damaged.
Yes, ma'am.
Who cares?
Not a stranger to the courtroom is a feller named Tekashi 6ix9ine. I think his real name is like Daniel Garcia or something like that. At an exotic dancing emporium called the Gold Rush Cabaret in Miami, an exotic dancer named Alexis Avarios sued Tekashi 6ix9ine because he clocked her in the skull with a bottle of Cristal. Helpful hint: never club your exotic dancer in the skull with champagne bottles. It's never a winning thing, especially if you happen to have some asset. Now, Tekashi 6ix9ine seems to spend more time in court than most people spend sleeping. But he lost $10 million to this wonderful exotic dancer. They're talking about auctioning off all of his assets to pay her. I have a concern. Isn't there some sort of Lloyd's of London rapper, strip club, insurance type thing? And if there isn't, there should be. And if there is, why didn't Tekashi 6ix9ine end up go out and purchase them? I don't know. When you're at the club, assets or no assets, honor the wonderful ladies who dance and jiggle their way to your heart. Give them a 20 and a smile. The nicer you are to them, the nicer they are to you. From the champagne room, this is Velo Hool. Strippers on the loose, Sterling at night.
All right. You ought to see my wife's face when the stripper report comes on.
I can't. I just can't even. I mean, he said, oh, don't clock her with a bottle of champagne. What are you supposed to clock her with? What are you supposed to do? I can't. I'm like, I'm a very visual person. You know that. So you know as I sit here.
Yeah. You're visualizing
I'm
this?
Visualizing as he's saying, jiggling her bits or whatever he's saying, this woman being hit with the with the champagne bottle. It's not something I want in my head, okay?
I understand.
I mean, I don't.
Stop.
I can't stop. You asked me
I visualize everything.
You know that.
I thought you went over the edge when you started talking about the jiggling bits.
Whatever he was saying. Yeah, I mean, oh, they'll be nice to you. No, I don't want them to be nice to me. I don't want bits jiggling. I don't want to think about it. Can I just leave when that segment comes on
We're talking here on Sterling on Sunday about people working over the age of 65 or past the age of 65.
She might have been working past the age of 65 until she got hit with the champagne bottle and got the $10 million lawsuit.
That's why it was called the Golden Cabaret,
right, like, yeah.
Her golden years. Let's go to Kathy in Pennsylvania, is going to talk to us about working past age 65, whether you're doing it or you think you're going to have to do it, depending on your age. Kathy, thanks for calling Sterling on Sunday.
Hello. I wanted to let you know I'm 81 years old, and I'm still working.
Congratulations, Kathy. I think that's wonderful.
What do you do?
And I'm a nurse.
Wow.
Wow. What kind of nurse?
And I'm on my way home. I'm on my way home from work right now.
What were you doing? What were you doing as a nurse today?
Passing meds, taking care of people.
Do you work in a hospital or for a doctor or a facility?
Nursing home right now.
Wow.
Man, you probably got patients younger than you in the nursing home.
Most of them are, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, what keeps you going?
Well, I think I've retired like about four times, and it's just not me to just sit at home. The longer I was sitting at home doing nothing, the older I felt. So this keeps me going. I have something to look forward to go to work, and I'm happy to go home. You know, it's just, I love the job. I love the people. I love all the coworkers too. So it's just a wonderful time for me.
Do you see yourself stopping at any point?
Not yet.
Wow.
Yeah, she's
too young to stop. It sounds like you have a heart to serve people and to take care of people, and that's kind of a drive for you as well.
Yeah, yeah. And I have animals that I love tremendously, and that keeps me happy too. I'm just... I thank God every day for something. There's always something good every day.
Absolutely. Great attitude. Kathy, good to hear you. Mm. On her way home from work. Kathy from Pennsylvania, yeah. Thank you. All right, here's how you get on the air. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. That surprised you a little.
It did surprise me. I just, you know, over the last couple years, gone through being a caregiver for someone who was much younger than that,
right?
Who subsequently has passed away. But going in facilities and out of facilities, I've the nurses were generally younger than I am.
Not everybody has a job they like, right?
That's true, and I think that would kind of be a drive too to stop working.
We're asking you, based on a Pew Research study this week, we're asking you, if you're under the age of, let's say, 65, mm-hmm. do you see yourself working past that age, past your senior citizen years? And if you're over 65, are you still working?
Man, I'm 81. I just keep going back to that. 81. I think it's great. It's
caring
wonderful.
For people in a nursing home that are younger than her.
Right. I had a grandmother who died in a nursing home, and she was 83. And I just can't, she was there for years also. It's just kind of, it's astounding to me. But maybe part of what keeps her going is her drive to keep working.
Right. And her, she's tried to retire, didn't like it. Yeah. Maybe you're in the same boat. We'll hear from you coming up. We're also going to talk a little later on. We'll take some of your calls on this. But also later, we'll talk about a recall of Tesla, electric
scary.
Cars.
Freaked out by the electric cars. I'm freaked out.
You're freaked out by them, and I'm not happy about them.
No.
We'll get into that coming up as well, I'm sure. All right. All of this tonight on Sterling on Sunday, Dan Gaffney and Becky Gaffney in for Walter M. Sterling, who will be back on Christmas Eve. If you'd like to send Walter some well wishes, it's waltermsterling@gmail.com. Back in a minute.
Walter M. Sterling.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by that Providence judge.
But a handicapped parking placard would allow you to park overnight.
Right.
Unless there's a storm.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I share a colorful Christmas story from my childhood, resulting in broken Christmas lights and punished children. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Tornado warning at Walmart. Details later. People at Walmart, Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
Walmart is the number one revenue-producing company in the entire world, the globe. It's all about Bentonville, Arkansas. All right, Walmart, what happens if you are there and thus hit by a tornado warning? Are you on your own? What happens to those wonderful associates? Good news. Walmart has a procedure. It's called a code black. They move everybody into the bowels of the Walmart, where their tornado safety is really big. They lock the doors, can't get in, and thus you are safe. This was put together by a TikToker called the Quist Family, Q-U-I-S-T. Just one word, the Quist Family. This lovely TikToker, fetching laughs, was excited, concerned, scared, but the most important thing, she felt safe at Walmart. If you live in tornado country, one of the biggest worries you have is being in a location where there is no safety from the twister. Walmart thought about that. They're take care of you. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Hool, Sterling at night.
Dan and Becky Gaffney in for Walter Sterling tonight. Happy to be with you. Last call if you'd like to talk about your plans for working past age 65.
And I'm sorry to inform you, honey, but I just came back from the powder room and you need to fix the chain on the toilet. I would have done it. I would have done it just then, but there wasn't enough time and I was, you know, working on my skincare in the break there.
Down here?
Yeah, down here. The powder room. We only have one of those. Down here. Just
it's funny when we're on the radio, you call it the powder room.
Well, I was in there powdering. I was like literally in there doing like between segments skincare.
Right.
And, you
know. Is that the smell of rose water
I
smell?
That's what you smell. I smell beautiful, don't I smell?
Yes, absolutely.
How do I look with all this on my face? Do I look lovely with it on my face too?
I'm not sure what's going on there. Looks like your forehead is covered in bandages.
Well, they're called frownies. And yeah, they're kind of like bandages and they're on my forehead. We don't have to discuss.
Well, you brought it up.
Well, I brought up that I was doing skincare, and then you said I looked like I was covered in bandages.
I just fixed that chain in there.
Well, that's not my fault that you didn't fix it.
It's a chain that connects to the flapper. It's just, you know.
Chain. She's in there doing the Charles spin.
Yeah. Not that kind of flapper. 888-688-WALT. We're filling in for Walter Sterling tonight. Great to be with you, by the way. It's good to talk to you. If you'd like to tell us about your retirement plan. My retirement plan, work until I am physically unable to do so, and then hope that one of the eight children, right, will take us in their little garage apartment or back room or something. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's my retirement plan.
That's not my retirement plan. I don't want to live in a little, in the back room.
Like a mini house.
Yeah, well, why can't we have a nice house when we retire?
Because I'm thinking I'm old.
Like, what's wrong with this house?
But listen, you're not hearing me.
No, I'm hearing you.
I have become incapacitated. I can't work. That means I'm that old. Okay, which means I can't work for some reason.
And we can't live in a mini house because we'll need like a hospital bed and wheelchair accessible things.
But that's not in the budget. So I'm thinking one of the kids gonna watch us in the garage.
Okay, watch us in the garage. I'm not incapacitated and that old in this scenario. How did I get as old and incapacitated as you?
Well, I don't know.
What's wrong with me?
I don't know.
Okay.
But is that a bad retirement plan? Is hoping that one of the children will watch him for us, watch over us. I don't think that's a bad retirement plan.
I will tell you that what my hopes are for our children is that none of them ever have to care for us if we're incapacitated. I don't want that to happen.
Okay.
We just realized
we have different retirement plans.
Yep. Well, okay. You're going to have to go live in the mini house and I'll be in the mansion. There you go. Fixing my own toilet chains and applying my own skincare.
Linda from New York City is on the phone with us here on Sterling on Sunday. Hello, Linda.
Hello, folks. Thanks for taking my call. One thing that wasn't mentioned, if you're planning well enough and healthy, you retire, there's plenty of volunteer work that needs to be done out there trying to help people. When I retired, I spent a couple of days a week just as a volunteer in my local library.
What does that pay?
Away.
Dan,
What does that pay?
Yeah. Yeah. I was a volunteer, so...
Yeah, but what does that pay?
Stop. He knows it doesn't pay anything, Linda. I think it's wonderful.
Linda, I need the money,
Okay, yeah, but you are right. Plenty of jobs out there, too, you know. But no one should feel, if I retire, I'll have nothing to do. That is wrong. There's plenty out there to do.
I agree.
So
are we allowed to...
The main thing is to plan ahead, too. Plan ahead so that you are able to do as you want, you know?
It's too late. But Linda, are we allowed to ask how old you are?
Well, yes, you're allowed to ask, but I'm going to plead the fifth. Once you get in the retirement age... You don't want to tell.
All right. You're sweet. Thank you. Volunteering, awesome. Keep it up, all right, Linda?
Thank you, Linda.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, New York City. New York City? That's what you're supposed to say.
I am? Okay.
When I say New York City, you're supposed to go, New York City.
Nope, not doing it.
888-688-WALT. So we're getting all of the older folks who are happily still working.
Right.
But none of the younger folks who are looking forward. You know what I mean?
I think.
I want to know if you're well below 65, do you plan on continuing to work? My idea of working past 65 and into my elder years, I've had that thought since I was 20 years old.
You have. Also, I will bring up that I think you are going to be just like your grandmother, who died when she was 99 and 51 weeks old. Yeah. I think you're going to do that. That's what you're going to do. And she wasn't
from your
sick.
Lips to God's ears.
Nothing happened. She was just not, she was spry until that moment.
Right. We asked, my sister was her caregiver, basically.
Right.
And we asked, what happened? Why'd she die?
Well, she got a cold. We don't know.
Oh, she was just old.
Yeah, old.
That's it.
And she,
there was no real reason. She was just old.
And that woman, I mean, I remember her being 96 years old, walking in the house. She'd just been out to dinner and came in and complained about the terrible food she just ate while she was out to dinner. Sat crisscross applesauce in the middle of the floor and reached for the baby.
Right.
She was amazing.
Crisscross applesauce is the new term for what many of you used to call Indian style.
And if you're over 65 and still plan on working, that's probably what you called it. But I can call it crisscross applesauce I'd like.
I know. But I just want to let people know.
I think they get it.
Do you want to take this next call?
Hi, Sue from Pennsylvania. What do you think about working past the age of 65?
Well, I just wanted to suggest, you know, if Dan is staying in the garage of one of the kids and you're in the mansion, you might have to fix your own flapper.
You know, I agree, Sue. Yes, I absolutely will. And I can fix my own flapper. Honestly, around these parts, who does the most manual labor? That would be me.
Oh, come on.
That would be me. It was just that, you know, the hands weren't prepared to do that.
During the next break, and this is literally, this is a nationwide radio show, big time. During the next break, commercial break, I literally will be putting the chain back on the flapper.
Okay, but let me mention this to Sue also, that tomorrow morning, what am I going to be doing? I'm going to be sanding down the walls that I just put a skim coat on so that I can paint and redo that powder room. Right.
Sue, is this Sue from Schwanksville, isn't it? Schwanksville, Pennsylvania?
Yes, also known as the Siren of Schwanksville.
The Siren of Schwanksville.
Wow.
I have heard Sue on three different radio shows. She's called my Real Weekday Show, Washington, D.C., and here for Sterling on Sunday.
And when you were on 1210 on Saturday night back before COVID.
Nice.
That's right. She's an awesome listener. What about working past 65, yay or nay?
Well, I am past 65, and I retired at age 66, which was full retirement age for me.
Right.
And then a year after that, I started a little baking business. And I'm in my seventh year of that now, and I think this may be the first year I finish in the black.
Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah. All right. Sue, you're awesome. Thanks for calling and bringing up some very great points about my wife in the future fixing her own toilet.
All right, Dan. All right. Thank you, Sue.
Bye-bye.
All right, and we'll be back. More of your phone calls coming up. This is Dan and Becky Gaffney in for Walter M. Sterling. You're listening to Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by George Gilbert.
Get delicious Lancaster brand sirloin, porterhouse, or rib steak for only 79 cents a pound at your Acme Market.
Tesla is recalling 2 million cars, almost every car on the road that they've sold, to update the autopilot software to better warn drivers, I guess, to keep their hands on the wheel. That's basically what they're saying. 2-year study, National Highway Safety Traffic Administration people, looking at crashes involving Tesla. And they decided, well, the autopilot auto steer function doesn't warn drivers enough when their hands are off the wheel and stuff.
Well, if it's an auto drive feature, why does it have to warn you to put your hands on
the wheel? Well, that's because it's not truly auto drive. It's just called that. You know, it's assist, but it's called autopilot auto steer.
Right. Well, that's clearly misleading. Just the what they're saying about it is clearly misleading. I mean, I'm under the impression that these things just, you know, take off and take you where you want to go.
My question is, this just came out this past week. If you own a Tesla, where are my Tesla owners at? If you own a Tesla, 888-688-WALT, did you get the software update yet? That's how they fix it, by the way. It's just a download. You don't have to go into the garage or,
and all it's going to do is say put your hands on, why don't they just send out a sticker that you can just like put on
better,
the windshield.
It knows
keep your hands on the wheel, you moron.
That's it knows when your hands are off the wheel.
Oh my word.
Okay. After the recall, it says Teslas with auto steer turned on will more routinely check on the driver's attention level.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, because it knows. and may disengage the feature when it determines the driver isn't paying attention. Or like when the car is approaching traffic controls or when it's off the highway, you know.
It's just too creepy. It's just too creepy for me. It's going to judge your attention level, and it's like an inanimate object. Like, I don't, it scares me. It scares me. It's like 1985. It scares me because I'm afraid the car is just going to, like, you know, do its own thing and lock you inside, take you somewhere, and then just like create one of those never ending fires that they can't put out, you know?
That's coming.
No, I don't want one. I don't want one.
When Neither
you live,
do I.
When you live in the mini house, we're going to ride bikes. That's
well,
all.
I don't want one either. I don't have any problem with people who buy them. They're kind of cool in a lot of ways. I just particularly don't want one. But
no.
You know that if we could just say they're forcing us into it. We live in a state that's following what California is doing, and they're mandating that in the coming years, almost all vehicles must be electric, just like many other places. Their mandate. I disagree completely with the mandate. Okay. I don't like it.
I don't want to be in anything that could just can control anything. Like, it's, I don't lock me in. Like, I'm afraid it would malfunction. You're locked in.
Yeah, but when our cars take off, they lock.
They do, but we still have control over them. Okay. It's not, you know, it's not.
You think it's going to be
So here's the, all right, let's just get into the real creepy part of this. You just said it's going to judge your attention level and it's going to do this and turn this feature off.
You don't
and
like that.
I'm sorry. I'm a human being. I don't need a machine judging where I am emotionally or what I'm looking at or what I'm doing or.
I don't. If you own a Tesla, did you know about the recall? And what can you tell us, non-Tesla owners, right, about the auto steer function, what you think of it, and does it need to give you more warnings, whatever? And have they updated the software yet? They said they were going to start doing it right away. Tesla said they agreed to begin the software update starting... either last week or the coming week, they're going to start doing it. And it's an over-the-air update. You know, it just updates itself.
Yeah, again.
You know, like your phone does.
Right, I know. And that's what I'm saying. Like, over-the-air, we're going to lock you in your car at some point. I know it sounds crazy. I know it sounds crazy and, like, Orwellian, but I just can't. It freaks me out. I don't want anyone to be able to over-the-air control something that I'm in.
Okay.
You think I'm nuts?
No.
A little.
A lot of fire companies and volunteer firemen are concerned about these cars, too. EVs in general, because if there is a fire, they're hard to put out.
They can't put them out.
Yeah.
They just burn forever until they're done. Okay. That's freaky.
I don't know if that's a reason not to have them, though.
Okay, I'm sorry, but in today's age, if there's a shampoo bottle that isn't labeled correctly, people are getting sued, you know, and we have to take things off the market because they're dangerous. But a car can burn and burn and burn, and that's okay?
Thank you, Becky. I'm Dan Gaffney. That's Becky Gaffney. Walter Sterling is off tonight. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Walter M. Sterling.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling.
Looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowicz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardized that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat, how you got it?
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to tell a story from my childhood that resonates with Christmas time. So when I was a little boy growing up in the Bronx, we had Christmas break, and it was probably about 2 weeks off. And as a child, my parents allowed my brother and I after dinner, which we usually used to wrap up dinner about 6 o'clock at night, we could go out until 9. So we'd go out in the cold, my brother and a bunch of his friends and my friends, and we'd roam the neighborhood. There were these three boys that lived a couple of blocks away that used to hang out with us. Now, these boys had a rough childhood. Their parents were off the boat from Italy. They owned an Italian restaurant, and these boys basically grew up in the restaurant from the time they were about 10 years old. They were either doing busboy work or waiters and cooks. So these kids, they were working very early on. So one night during the Christmas holidays, we went to their house to see if they wanted to come out and play with us. We were probably about 12 or 13 years old. Well, the boys weren't home. The family wasn't home. But while we were waiting for them, we realized that they had all these Christmas lights around the house, and it was very cold, and we weren't wearing gloves. And back then, the Christmas lights were about 2 or 3 inches long. They were those heavy-duty glass bulbs. And while we're watching them blink and our hands are freezing, my brother decides to start unscrewing the light bulbs and sticking them in his pockets. And I said, "What are you doing?" He goes, "These things make great hand warmers." So the next thing you know, while we're waiting for these boys to show up, we're sticking Christmas bulbs in our pockets. Then we get bored. And the next thing you know, we start throwing them at each other. And unlike the Christmas lights that you have nowadays, these things would explode when they hit something. And back then, cars were heavy-duty metal. They weren't the plastic things that we have nowadays. So we're running around in front of these three boys' house throwing these Christmas lights at each other, and they're popping and exploding all over the place. Well, after a while, you would run out of ammo. So then we'd have to run back up these kids' stairway and start unscrewing more bulbs. And the lights are popping all over the place during this running gun battle. Well, when we run out of all the lights, we decide to leave, and we leave these boys' stairway and in front of their house just littered in green and light broken Christmas bulbs. Well, a couple of days later, we go to the boys' house, and the parents start screaming at us, and they tell us the boys are punished. And we're not putting two and two together. Then we come into school, and one of the kids has got a shiner, and we said, "What happened?" And they said, "Our parents thought that we unscrewed the Christmas lights and broke them all over the place, and we were punished for the Christmas holiday." Well, I felt really bad about it, but I didn't feel the need to burden my friend with the story of what we had done. So for more stories about my colorful childhood and the New York City Police Department, be sure to check out my new book, Confessions of a Catholic High School Graduate.
A season miracle. Answered prayers. Sterling isn't here. Meet guest stars Becky and Dan Gaffney.
Great to be here. Walter Sterling sends his best wishes, and if you would like to send him a message as well, it's waltermsterling@gmail.com. Tell him you miss him. The guest hosts are never as good as the host. We want you back, Walter. You could tell him that. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. Dan and Becky Gaffney here. Becky, you're into the eggnog, I see, is flowing.
No, it's the same glass.
Oh, it
I've
is.
Had one glass of eggnog it's, since, you know, 9 o'clock.
Is a little something special in that eggnog?
Lots of spices, honey. There's, you know, eggnoggy spices and some eggs in there. How's your coffee?
Good. We are broadcasting from the living room here today with the Christmas tree, and we are in Delaware, so we're in the zone that Dr. Dave just talked about in the weather, where we're getting a little bit of rain, and wind is the big thing. We just had a tree limb hit the house.
We had a kid
literally just moments ago
come downstairs and say, "Did you hear that tree fall right in the middle of that break?" So we had to go outside and check it out.
Nothing serious?
Nope, just a large part of an oak tree hit the side of the house right where nothing, you know, it's fine. I'm sure in the morning everything will be fine, but it just hit where his bedroom is and right. Kind of woke him up. So
right. He expected to see an entire tree down.
Yes, because it was loud. And he just wanted to make sure that the pet bunny was okay.
And all is fine. So, do you own a Tesla? Are you on the road right now as a Tesla owner? We'd love to talk with you. I don't know if we'll get any Tesla owners. 888-688-WALT. 888-688-9258.
I think we probably scared all of the Tesla owners off because they don't really want to talk to us because they think I'm a weirdo because I don't like their
cars.
I'm
sure it gets tiring when you own an electric vehicle and then you hear people talking about how they don't like electric vehicles. I'm sure that gets a little tiring.
Hey, go for the electric vehicle. It's something that's scary to me. Sorry.
The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration recalling making Tesla recall almost all the vehicles they've sold so that they can update the software for the autopilot feature so you get a better warning if you're the driver and your hands are off the wheel or you're not paying attention. It's going to do a better job warning you. Apparently, some of the other EVs with these features are better at warning you than Tesla. They studied crashes over the last 2 years. And they've decided they need to update the software. So that's what the recall is.
Who thinks it's okay to ride in the car with your hands off the wheel anyway? I mean, I know you do that sometimes
Tesla
when you're
drivers.
Eating. But, you know, I can't imagine that. Again, you know, you have said before, like, that it's I'm too afraid to not be in control of something because, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, I don't want to let go of the wheel. What if in the second you let go of the wheel, something happens?
Right.
All right, so I'm a scaredy cat. That's
okay, so anyway, that's all. Just going to ask about that. If you knew about the recall and if they've updated your software yet. that's what I wanted to know. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. Do you ever think about this, son? You know where we live here.
I do know where we live.
We don't have a garage.
No.
We have three cars right now
mm-hmm.
because there are a lot of people here, kids and whatever.
Right.
So if we're mandated to have an electric vehicle, where are we going to plug in?
We're not.
We don't have a garage.
No.
We park in an alley away from the house.
Right.
Because it's a city-ish thing.
And they're about to turn our street parking into a bike path where you can't park.
Right.
So I don't know what they want us to do.
So if we had an electric vehicle or when we're forced into getting electric vehicles, we'll have to run electric lines through, you know, trench it out to some place where we park the car.
Because the car is very far away from where our house is, right.
And there are some people in our neighborhood that like every neighborhood, right? Every
right.
city that across America, that they have on-street parking. They don't even have a place to park. It's on-street parking. Where are they going to plug in? Where are they going to plug in?
I don't know. I have no idea. I think they're not going to be able to have cars. We're not going to be able to have a car, and then there will be just less cars.
So you got to get up in the morning, drive over to a convenience store, sit there for 20 minutes, minimum.
That's convenient.
And then go to work?
Yeah, no.
For people that don't have on-street park or off-street parking or a garage?
Or you'll have to do it before you get home, I guess.
I'm not sure how it's all going to work.
I don't know.
All right. That's one of the reasons I'm not very pleased with it.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think of my neighbors. The neighbors on the street behind us.
Right, I know.
They don't have...
I know, and that's what I'm saying. Like, they have less parking now than we do, but we're about to lose any street parking that we have.
Right.
Luckily, we have an old coal alley that's behind our house, or we wouldn't have... I don't know what we would do.
Yeah, that's what it's called, a coal alley, where they used to deliver coal.
Right. They did.
To my stocking. No, to the house for heat, right?
Right. My stocking will be empty. At least you'll have coal.
We'd love to hear from you. Our phone lines are open. 888-688-WALT. 888-688-9258. We'll be back. Let's take a little break. Dan and Becky Gaffney in for Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by Neil Rogers.
Yeah, that's right. I qualify. I'm a fag. That gives me a leg up, so to speak.
No, you can't. There's no fags in the church.
There's. Oh my God! Wait a minute. I want you to get. Do we have a bullet? I wish we had a bulletin sounder. There's no fags in the Catholic Church.
No.
Okay. Thank
no.
you so much. I'm
Bye-bye.
So relieved. I feel so much better now.
888-688-WALT. What's the matter?
Just you. You're the matter.
All right. Let's go to DJ in New York calling the Walter Sterling Show. Dan and Becky filling in. DJ, how are you?
How are you? Well, I live in New York. Other than that, I'm okay. It's I'll tell you what. I have to support Becky 1,000%. We have friends who, my husband just passed away. We had friends who had a Tesla. It was the self-driving, and you have a tendency to sort of relax and let your guard down. And they had the automatic driving kicked in. The car decided there was somebody just down the street coming out of a driveway. The car decided, oh, wait a minute, I think I'm going to go and plow into that car. And that's exactly what it, it plowed into the car, severely injured the driver in the other car.
Yeah, no.
I would not have one of those things if you gave me $1 million.
No, what? And not that I feel like I can prevent everything, but it's kind of like, you know, like, you know, if you have something that's important to be done, you're not going to hand it off to somebody else to do it if you know that you can handle it. It's kind of like my life in my car.
Exactly. And if you are not paying attention, you get lazy, you let your guard down. Yeah. And that's not what we teach our children, is it?
I hope not.
Yeah, right. Who knows what they teach kids today? I have no idea, to be honest with you.
It's not what we teach our children, okay?
Right. It's not what we teach, right? Hey, DJ, thank you for that terrible accident. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
We're going to go to Steve in California. Hi, Steve. You're on the Walter Sterling Show.
I'm in Colorado, but that's all right.
Oh, I'm sorry. Colorado, even better.
Yes. So I was recently in California, and we rented a car, and it was a gas, which was great. But looking at all of the thousands of rental cars that were at the airport and near the airport, all I could think of is if all of these had to be charged at one time or all about the same time, that would be such a drain on the system. And how do they plan on doing that? But I don't know. The whole thing just seems ridiculous to me to have that many EVs trying to charge all at once.
Yeah, when there's no way it could possibly happen, right? I mean, it doesn't seem feasible. It's a great way of thinking about it when you're at the airport. One of these mass parking lots when you just see thousands of cars sitting there.
And that's even outside of the idea that, like, right now in this huge storm, you lose electricity, then who can charge anything?
Right.
Yeah. And mine was, I mean, I was like the 10th car in line to return. And I'm thinking, so all of those in front of me, plus the ones that came a half hour ago, or, you know, it just seemed scheduling. And I don't know, the whole thing just seemed kind of messed up to me.
Well, I guess the counter to that is they're not all going to be needing to charge while they're there, right? They all have various levels of charge already, so just like they have various levels of gas in the tank.
So let's just say, though, like, think of this scenario. So no, they don't all have to charge at once, but, like, okay, so there is no electricity. Something tragic happens. There is none.
Right.
They all are going to need a charge at some point at the same time then, and no one can go anywhere.
Right. Okay.
Correct.
You're tracking with my wife there, Steve. I get you.
I think of everything that can go wrong. It's just that's the way my brain works.
Right. I get it. Thank you. Steve in Colorado, thanks for calling. Thank you. 888-688-WALT. I want to hear from people that actually own a Tesla. I'm just asking about the recall. And then maybe you can address when you hear people sniping at electric cars. It's got to be a little annoying. I assume you like your car that you bought. So then you hear, you know, some schmucks on the radio talking about how scary it is.
Well, you assume they like
your
car,
schmuck,
too.
But you know what I mean.
Well, thank you, honey. You're not a schmuck either most of the time.
You know what
I mean.
But
let's just imagine, you know, people don't necessarily like our car, but we need our car to function.
Right,
we
right.
have to have a big car to have all of the kids in it at the same time. I don't necessarily like that car. It's not the car I would have picked, but I need it. So maybe that's the same case for these people.
I talked to a guy the other day who bought a Tesla, and I asked him, what kind of charger did you put in at your house? He didn't do the upgrade. He didn't do the upgraded charger. You can do a 110 like trickle charge, but he only gets like 5 miles per hour of charging. So my question to him was, so he charges mostly, he drives, he has to go find a supercharger somewhere to charge fully, right? So I have the scenario, let's say you come home at night and you're kind of low. Let's say your range is 50 miles or something and you need to trickle it. You put it on the trickle charger and an hour later, an emergency crops up. You know, grandma's in the
right,
hospital, or
yeah.
You got to run to Philly to pick up your friend, or you got to drive here to
do it.
He's stuck.
Right.
What's he going to do? He's going to lose 20 minutes on the trip.
20 minutes or lose the opportunity to go on the trip.
Or what, you
completely.
Know, oh, there's an emergency at work. You better get over here right away.
Sorry, can't do it.
You know,
have to work.
Oh, I gotta wait. I'll be leaving in 20 minutes after I drive. Well, I'll be leaving in 40 minutes. I gotta drive over to the supercharger and sit there for 20 minutes, and then I'll be there.
Maybe horse and buggy is the answer here. We can go back to
it. Just
the
seems like
at the ready.
It's limiting, right? That's another worry I have.
Right.
I always like to have, you know, I'm not this person, but I can relate to the guy who always has a full tank of gas and is backed into the parking spot just in case he's got to bug out
right.
At any moment. You got to have a full tank of gas and you're backed in and ready to go. I don't think you get that sometimes if you're charging your car all night.
No. Do you remember the old days when I had to plug in my diesel car?
Yes.
Which
what a pain.
Really a pain. Really a pain. Really annoying. And yes, there were times where I couldn't plug in, needed to plug in. It was awful.
Yeah.
Horrible.
It was a, yeah, diesel, plug-in diesel car.
Right.
And in the winter, or anything below 35 or whatever.
Had to keep it warm.
Yeah.
It had to be plugged in so it would actually start in the
what
morning. Didn't always work that way. Yeah, that was a hassle. And that wasn't even as much of a hassle, I think, as this, because it wasn't all the time.
All right, last call. If you want to say something about a Tesla that you might own, feel free. The number, 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. Dan and Becky Gaffney in for Walter Sterling today. It's great to be here. Coming up, I'm going to talk about something that neither one of us partake in, but it's very popular, energy drinks.
Oh, my word, no.
Have you seen inside the convenience store how many cases full of different energy drinks?
Yeah, it's kind of nuts.
What? There is a doctor is saying something very important about energy drinks that you need to know. We'll do that coming up in just a moment. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Walter M. Sterling.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by Mark Simone.
I'm sure they love their country, but they don't like their country. They don't like Friday night football. They don't like hot dogs. They don't like the 4th of July. It's the worst day of the year for them.
All right, Sterling on Sunday. Listeners, I know you love Walter Sterling. He'll be back next weekend. Next weekend's Christmas Eve.
It is. I'm really excited. I can't wait.
Walter Sterling here with a very special Christmas Eve. Coming up next weekend. Also, if you would like to give Walter some well wishes tonight, his email address, waltermsterling@gmail.com. waltermsterling@gmail.com.
Hey, Rocky, do you have something to say about Teslas?
Yeah, I just wanted to chime in on that. I am an electrician, and I've hooked up some power for Teslas here and there. And you guys give it the worst case scenario it could possibly be. Normally what a person does is once they do the initial big charge up on the car and top it off, if you go somewhere, you know, make a run to work or anywhere to a store or something like that, when you come back in, you pull in your garage, if you have a garage, and you just plug your car in and it tops it back off. So you're like that guy that has the full tank all the time.
Yeah.
Right. You don't have to sit there and think like, oh, my God, I've got to spend hours at the thing and get a charge. No, you just keep it topped off all the time. Just plug it in. It charges back up in a half hour and you're good to go.
Number one, we're homeowners. We have no garage.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
Of course.
For those
people,
how they're going to own a Tesla.
Well, right. And
that's
so
the point.
That's the point.
Right,
you're being forced.
People don't have garages.
And a lot of our neighbors, we live in a small city, a lot of our neighbors don't even have off-street parking.
Right.
I mean, it's great.
Line extension cord?
Yeah, I mean, I can see all the extension cords going at, you know, the city's going to love that when they're going across the sidewalk and everybody's tripping on the extension cords.
I don't know. Downtown. Do you, you put them in. How much does it cost to install a charger typically?
Typically, when I put it in like a person's garage, that, you know, it varies because it depends how far away it's going to be, the location of it compared to where the panel's at and stuff like that. But basically, you're looking at about $500.
Oh, that's cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty inexpensive. That's like one of the more inexpensive prices I've heard, actually, for installing it. All right,
yeah,
Rocky.
Yeah, I would charge a whole lot.
Yeah, so, yes, we did give the worst-case scenario.
Absolutely.
You're right about that.
Right.
We could just, you know, we could probably run a line up through, you know, underneath of the sidewalk and then up into an old hitching post along the street. We could just plug into the horse's
mouth.
Yeah,
there you go.
That's going to be more than $500.
Right. Maybe.
All right, Rocky, thank you for the call. Thank you so much. Rocky in Las Vegas, by the way. A lot of people thought Rocky was calling us from the steps of the Philadelphia Art Museum.
I'm sure he's never heard that before either, honey.
Dun, 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 dun. Thanks,
Fun
Rocky.
Fun story. My brother's, his nickname was Rocky growing up, and I thought about naming our son Ace Rocky. That was one of the top choices.
Really?
Yep.
Ace is cooler.
I don't know. Ace is cool. Rocky's cool, too.
Yeah, Rocky's cool. There's nothing wrong with Rocky. We appreciate his call. Rocky the electrician. Very good. This is Sterling on Sunday. Wonder if Rocky or anyone else is into these energy drinks. Now, I'm into caffeine. I got to be the first guy to admit it. I'm a caffeine guy. Love coffee, right?
Right.
I tried years ago when they first came out, the energy drinks, like a Red Bull or something. Horrible, horrible feeling.
Yeah.
And horrible.
Didn't you have like some sort of reaction to some niacin in it or something? And like your whole entire body turned red and that was the end of that?
It was so strange.
Yeah.
So the other day, I was at a convenience store and I'm looking for the water I like. And I go, well, this whole case is all energy drinks. I'm looking at all these different energy drinks. So I go to the next door, all energy drinks. I go to the third door, all energy drinks. Like, man, and they're all the different types, you know?
I guess that's
like, man,
the popular thing. It used to be all sodas, right?
Right.
So now we've got to, you know.
I was going to say that.
Yeah.
It seems like more energy drinks than soda, you know?
Right.
And then there's the sodas that are also energy drinks.
Horrible.
And then there are coffees that are also energy drinks.
No.
And there are waters that are also energy drinks. You know, where they add whatever
where
it is.
Right, where they put caffeine in water and mineral.
Very bizarre.
Yeah, no. No, thank you.
Saw a story this week. Dr. Caitlin Merkin is a bariatric surgeon. All right? Is that the lap band person?
Well, I think they do that as well as other things, yes.
Bariatric surgeon warning against excessive consumption of these drinks. Now, I don't know what excessive is. You know, one person's excessive is another person's, I'm just getting warmed up.
Yeah.
The combination of caffeine and stimulants can impact blood pressure, heart rhythm, worsen anxiety. Maybe that's what's wrong with a lot of people.
You know, it very well might be.
It can induce digestive problems, cause dehydration, and disrupt sleep patterns.
Okay, I'm going to say something else here, too. Worsen anxiety. You know they have red dye and yellow dye and things that worsen anxiety, and yellow makes you just feel suicidal. And, I mean, these dyes that do these things, that coupled with whatever the heck else is in here that's cranking you up, how could you not be anxious?
No dyes are allowed in our house.
No, absolutely not. No dyes.
And you got to be careful. Even some pickles, of all things, have coloring in it.
Right. Well, anyway. Pickles have a lot of other things, too. But anyway, back to the energy drinks.
They say a recent incident, a Florida man suffered cardiac arrest after consuming highly caffeinated drinks And she says this highlights the danger. And the American Heart Association is in on this. They're advising limiting your daily caffeine intake. This doctor emphasizing that it's not just the caffeine. There's added sugar in the energy drink, and so it's a type 2 diabetes risk. My is this word. Doctor just a killjoy and, like most doctors, trying to get her name in the paper?
I don't know. I'm kind of wondering why she's a bariatric surgeon and she's not talking about, you know, don't eat as much junk food, and she's talking about energy drinks.
Particularly concerning, they say, is the potential impact on children's developing cardiovascular systems.
Wow.
Moreover, combination of energy drinks and alcohol, which is also, I guess, popular.
Is it? I've never heard of that. Do people actually put alcohol in energy
drinks? What's it called?
What do you mean, what's it called?
Well, I think they mix Red Bull and booze.
Then I guess it's called Red Bull and booze.
I don't know what to call it.
I don't know. Boozy Bull.
People are laughing at me right now.
Yes, and me, because I have no idea. Totally I didn't even know this was a thing.
We're totally naive, and people are going, listen to these dummies on the radio.
Right. Scared of electric cars and energy drinks.
Right. They say that that's popular during holiday festivities.
Why?
I don't know. You have a drink, that's a downer, right? That's a depressant. And then you have a Red Bull, it's an upper.
Okay, can you imagine
if it's not to say any brand names, you have an energy drink.
If it's going to increase anxiety, and you know, when I go into these like social situations, I go to a Christmas party and I'm going to analyze everything that I said to every single person and be embarrassed about it for 6 years, then put an energy drink on top of that, I'd never stop being anxious.
Does anybody feel weird when they drink these things? Like,
feel weird.
Well, yeah. Like, I felt so weird when I had one that I've never had another. Mm. I'm like, totally not going
to
do it.
Yeah, but I think you absolutely had, like, a reaction to it. You turned into a lobster.
Yeah, an anxious lobster.
Right.
While they say moderation is apparently acceptable, Dr. Caitlin Merkin recommends caution to avoid health issues associated with energy drink consumption. Well, of course, that's just a generic way of saying it may do something to you. So I don't know. That's why I want to ask you, you know, whenever I read a news story, I like to go to my primary source of information for all things to judge whether there's some truth in it or not. And that is you, the listener. Okay. Oh. I always like to go to the listener.
I'm also going to say that I'm really kind of tired of the buzzword or the phrase in moderation. In moderation. Right. She wouldn't be a bariatric surgeon if we did things in moderation.
Right.
You know, it's like that. Everything is just, oh, you can do it a little. No, you can't. No, you can't. You can't set yourself on fire a little. You know, you can't fall off a building a little.
Right.
It's, you know. No.
So I'm wondering if what's the deal with the energy drinks and the alcohol? I'm wondering if you notice these things. Maybe you're a person that drinks a lot of these. Let us know. All right. What's the phone number?
Phone number is 888-688-9258. 888-688-WALT.
Notice how she said it twice as if to signal that we are taking your phone calls, and we absolutely are. And we'll do that in a moment. Dan and Becky Gaffney in for Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by Alex Daddario.
Do you just look at my boobs?
I was not my intention. I didn't stare directly at them.
You're looking at them right now.
Now I did. Because you were talking about them.
Dan and Becky Gaffney in for Walter Sterling. We are live from our living room next to the Christmas tree. If you'd like to see a photo of my view during the show, you can go to the Facebook page, Dan Gaffney Show.
And you can follow me on Instagram at Just Being Mom.
So she's the Instagram, Just Being Mom. I'm the Facebook Dan Gaffney Show.
He likes the old people social media.
Oh, come on. And we're streaming on Twitch. Does that make it sound better? Let's go to Matt out in Vegas. He's joining us. Hi, Matt. Oh, he's gone, man. Matt's gone. All right, let's go to Bill in Delaware. This might be Bill from Biden Falls. Who knows? Hi, Bill.
Hi, Dan. You're right. It is Bill from Biden Falls. Hello, Becky.
Hi there, Bill.
I think the last time I talked to the two of you was about a year ago, right before Thanksgiving. I was talking about the putting the pickling spice in my brining my turkey.
Oh yeah,
I remember that one.
Uh huh. Same recipe this year. Same one.
Fantastic.
Came out awesome again. And then chicken and dumplings. I'm finishing that up tomorrow.
Nice.
With the leftovers.
Are you inviting us for dinner? Is that what you're doing here, Bill?
Sounds like it.
Sure. Sure. But the energy drinks.
Yes,
they
Bill.
Mix it mainly with vodka is what I seem to remember.
Yeah, what's it called? What do you know? Every drink has a name.
I'm not sure what it's called. They say it's a cocktail, but it doesn't really meet the criteria of a full blown regular cocktail. So
what's the criteria of a full blown regular cocktail?
I think it needs like a like three things or more, three
oh,
items
really?
Or more in it.
Huh. All right,
I think that's what it is.
Maybe it's technically sure. Bill. Could it be technically a highball? Have you ever heard of that term, a highball?
Yeah, that was my father-in-law's favorite drink at Christmas time.
Yeah, a highball. I'm not sure what a highball is. My parents used to talk about that all the time as well.
Yeah,
hey, my dad would say, hey, Jane, make me a highball.
Let's gather around the silver Christmas tree with the pink balls and the sparkly lights.
And a highball.
Right.
Oh, my God.
I'd take one and I'd sip it and he'd say, you want another one? No, I'm not done this one yet.
So, all right.
Well, hey, I would like to wish you two a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas
Thank
to you,
Bill.
Too, Bill.
And enjoy your little short vacation this week.
All right, I will. Yeah, thank you so much.
A highball.
Yeah,
now I've got to find out what a highball is and what those drinks are called and what the criteria for cocktail
it's
is.
Back in the day, my parents would, talk about going to the Red Onion, which was a steakhouse, a real dark. I remember they took me to this place called the Red Onion. Very dark wood bar.
1970s.
Steakhouse.
Yeah.
And I think the neon sign said highballs. Like you could have a go there for highball and whatever.
Never have I. No. Mm-mm. All righty then.
That's just crazy. I don't know. Thank you so much, Bill from Biden Falls. All right, well, we are rolling through this program. I want to thank Walter Sterling for having us guest host. Thank you for the calls. Thank you, Sean, our producer, has done a great job, really great job. Anything you'd like to say for the Christmas holiday, dear?
You want to talk about the Christmas tree more? Is that what it is?
I don't know.
To post pictures of the Christmas tree because I haven't done it enough justice?
Let me read a message from Anne, listening to the show in Rancho Mirage, California. Wanted to say something about electric vehicles. Greetings from Rancho Mirage, California. With the lack of availability for electric charging stations for the average person, do you think we'll go back to the odd and even license plate restrictions like we had with gas rationing the 70s? Merry Christmas. Christmas tree emoji, Santa emoji, best Anne. Thank you, Anne.
Do you think you could have read that more like an old man by naming the emojis that Anne sent you?
I want the listeners to have a visual of what it looks like, the message.
Maybe you should just screenshot it and post it on your Facebook later.
No, thanks.
Okay. All right.
So that sounds old man to you.
To read the emojis?
Yeah, I think
Christmas
it sounds funny.
Christmas tree emoji.
I think it's...
highball emoji.
I think it's descriptive.
Cocktail emoji. Yes, it sounds old man. You'll be reading emojis past the age of 65.
All right. My goodness. Dan Gaffney Show on Facebook.
Just Being Mom on Instagram. I'm Becky Gaffney.
And I'm Dan Gaffney. Send Walter Sterling an email. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. Have a great Christmas. Good night.
Walter M. Sterling.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday. All right. Right. Stay bright.